Good morning. We'd like to see false prophets in the 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. For online courses students, we'd like to see four questions. Number one, in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. What are false prophets or false teachers? Question 2. Why didn't God give punishment to false prophets or false teachers in a hurry? Question 3. How do we know the fullness of the Holy Spirit? How do we know the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Last question. What is the big difference between tribulation and the great tribulation? This Peter was written by disciple Peter probably in 63 AD to scatter the Christians who had been persecuted by Roman governments. Today, like, you know, Iran or North Korea, you know, those the circumstances the Christians were severely persecuted. Verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Basically, false prophets and false teachers delivered a certain, you know, doctrine in destructive way. That you call is a different doctrine from, you know, the Jesus Christ doctrine originated from the Bible, is called as a heresy. So that is bring in to deny the law who bought them. So Jesus Christ bought Christians with his bloodshed, but false prophets or false teachers denied the law. So false prophets, we can see, for example, Jeremiah chapter 26, 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. So basically, the person who deliver word from their own heart rather than the mouth of the Lord is called as a false prophet. So, prophet meaning a person who delivers God's word is called as a prophet. But false prophet means delivers a different word from God's word. That's called is a false prophet. So, in New Testament, a certain criteria is required. So, the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the other judge according to the word of God. So some people speak or deliver God's word, but the other person should discern whether or not his word comes from God or consistent with God's word. So for example, the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 gives us a certain criteria that prophecy must be, number one, edification, number two, exhortation, number three, comfort. So edification, build up the body of Christ, exhortation, encouragement to keep on your ministry to the Lord and his flock. The last one, comfort. Otherwise, shut up the mouth. Also, we can see Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, why, you know, God allowed the false prophet to continue keep on false prophecy. So why? That answer here, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, they give us a miracle too, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, over which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after the other gods, so let us worship other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Then you shall not listen to the words of the prophet, because they are a prophet to serve other gods, or a dead dreamer of a dream, because, excuse me, the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In order to test your audience's heart to love God with all your heart and with all your soul, God allowed false prophets not to be punished in a hurry. That's the reason, in order to test them. So somebody, you know, told, if you read the Bible alone, you wouldn't understand. But if you read our book, you may understand the Bible, but you don't need to read the Bible. That's wrong. So without, you know, reading the Bible, how can you know God's word, you know, God's direction? So basically, they are trying the people to believe in Jesus Christ as a brother of Lucifer, Jesus is Michael. Michael, Archangel, kind of thing, you know. So they try to make Jesus a creature, you know, angelic thing, you know, to less than creator, you know, God's position. So the Bible say very clearly, Jesus is God. So, for example, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and 14. 1 and 3, basically, external word, you know, eternal word, you know, basically. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So all things was made through him, which meaning the Word. So all things were made through him. Without him, without the Word, nothing was made that was made. So the book of Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, we read, you know, God, you know, gave the Word. You know, then, you know, the creation, you know, occurred. So in him was life, in the Word was life, and the life was the light of man. The Word gave us, you know, the light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. So only light, you know, gave us comprehend, not darkness. Then verse 14, and the Word became flesh, so which meaning Jesus Christ. So basically, because of verse 14, incarnation Word, the Word is Jesus, because the Word became flesh, the Word God became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, God's glory, through incarnated Jesus, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. So only begotten Son of the Father is Jesus, full of grace and truth. Very clearly stated, Jesus was created. Also, Jesus was incarnated, but they denied Jesus as the Lord. Also, John chapter 20, verse 27 and 28. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, Jesus, my Lord and my God. Very plain word, my Lord and my God to Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. In the last week, you know, we had a senior pastor conference. You know, some pastors come from foreign country, Russia, China, Japan, Hungary. But at the bottom are some people from, Cambodia, Peru. But our citizen, our eternal citizen is in heaven, not here. So here, earthly citizenship is temporary. Japanese citizenship, American citizenship, Peru citizenship, temporary. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So eagerly wait. So Jesus coming again in heaven and on earth. We are eagerly waiting for. We are eagerly to be raptured, to caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ according to His word on the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great, no controversy, is the mystery of godliness. Mystery of godliness. Mystery is unknown thing, certain covered thing. Mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, discovered. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus was, became the flesh. Justified in the spirit. So, after Jesus' resurrection, ascension into heaven to sit right-hand side of God the Father, so Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, come on all believers. So, that's why whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will dwell in each believer. Justified in the spirit, seen by angels. So, angels in bond. So, there is, angel, told to Gabriel, told to Virgin Mary, you may have a boy, a son. So, Mary said, I have never known, man, what, happened. So, the Holy Spirit conceived her, so her womb like that, seen by angels, preachers among the Gentiles. Jesus delivered God's word the first time. The kingdom of God, is close. So you should repent. Like that, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. So after the ascension in heaven, so Jesus in God glory. So that kind of thing. So false here, false prophet and false teachers means false prophet, a person who delivers God's word. False teachers, a person who teaches God's word. So false means a different word from God's word, both of them. So false prophet is a person who deliver different words from God's word. False teachers, a person who teach a different word from God's word. That kind of thing. Also, interesting, the other, Bible verse, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25 and through 28. I have heard that the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Dream is a kind of spiritual experience. Not, spiritual experience is not the essence of God's word. some kind of experience. So experience is different, you know, to different person. How long will this be in the heart of the prophet who prophesied lies? Lies meaning, you know, different. God, you know, did not intend to particular spiritual experience such as a dream. Indeed, they are prophets of the deceits of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their father forgot my name for Baal. So basically, their dream coming from the Baal. Baal is the idol for knowledge, you know, in the Old Testament. You know, today is also, you know, some people are sought for knowledge alone, disregarding God the Father, Jehovah God, you know, in the Bible, who is the Father of Jesus Christ. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, said the Lord. So basically, deliver God's word faithfully. Faithfully meaning consistently, you know, so without, you know, hesitating. So consistently, continually deliver God's word. But that's why, you know, the Calvary Chapel pastors, you know, are, you know, so blessed and has a privilege to deliver, you know, God's word. So, you know, sometimes we brought some example. This is examples in order to make understanding God's word. You know, that's why it's an example, you know, are brought. Not, you know, to destroy God's word, we brought an example. No, what? So only, you know, God's word is. Also, you know, false prophet right here. You know, false prophets, they did not, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Fullness of the Holy Spirit meaning in the New Testament, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will dwell on believer. But during, you know, certain Christian life, or, you know, upon, you know, their belief, the ones, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So the beginning of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is called as the baptism with Holy Spirit. So baptism with Holy Spirit once during Christian life, which means the Holy Spirit is full upon, you know, each believer heart. That moment, the starting point, the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. So overflowing Holy Spirit, so how can we know that? That is, you know, agape love. Why? Because the fruit of Holy Spirit is agape love. You know, Galatians chapter 5, you know, verse 22 and 23. So that is the fruit of Holy Spirit is agape love. Agape love can manifested with many derivatives, you know, such as eight things, you know, joy, you know, peacefulness, gentleness, you know, meekness, like that, you know, kind of goodness, kind of thing. So also the First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, so the basically talks about, you know, gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is love. Then talk about the First Corinthians chapter 13, love. Without love, any ministry, anything is meaningless, is nothing. So that's why, how can we know the fullness of the Holy Spirit? So we can see expression of agape love. Here, you know, false prophet, no such thing. Here, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 2 through 8 says, thus says the Lord God, word to the foolish prophet or false prophet who follow their own spirit, not, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, God's spirit, own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. Basically, they do not have any sacrifice love. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle. So basically, for the prophets, no expression over the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you know, the sacrifice and agape love. Rather than empty word, you know, sometimes you freak out, you know, like that. Not, you know, they freak out. So not in drunkenness, you know, that kind of attitude. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit should be ministered and, you know, agape love. One is a form of the fruit of the Holy Spirit or the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit. So they have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, "Thus says the Lord," but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. They hope. Have you not seen a futile vision? Futile vision means dirty vision. Yeah. Have you not spoken false divination? You say, "The Lord says," but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense in visions, lied, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. So, that kind of thing. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive way. Destructive, not, you know, edify, not build up the body, but destructive way. Destroy, you know, their faith, because of whom the way truth will be blasphemed. So they distort the blasphemes. So John in chapter 17, verse 17 said, what is true? True is the God's word. Jesus said, true is God's word. So basically they blaspheme, you know, God's word. So I talked with somebody, she told me 144,000 people are, you know, they are believers based upon their own doctrine. So I asked to her, you know, where did you find it? So in Bible, you know, like that, so spiritual sense. So I asked her, why, you know, do you think about spiritual sense? You know, Bible doesn't say. Just read the book of Revelation. Each person, the book of Revelation chapter 7, you know, so basically talk about, you know, 12 tribes of Israel. So, you know, each tribe is 12,000 times 12. That is 144,000 Israelites come out. So Israelites are sealed for the great tribulation. So the Bible says so. But they made up, you know, their own, you know, doctrine. That kind of thing, one example, the way of truth, you know, is blasphemed. Verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deception. Covetousness, you know, they are a love of money. Like the Micah chapter 3, verse 11, who had a judge for a bribe, her priest teaching for pay, and her prophets divine for money. So bottom line, money is described as a bribe or a pay or a money. So that kind of heart to earn lucrative gain, that's called money. Because of that, you know, many people, you know, lied. Many people do not keep, you know, his promise, his word, you know, so because of a lucrative, you know, benefit. That said, even if extremely education method are there, so a person who does not keep word would be meaningless. So like based upon, you know, dishonest way, you know, destructive way, that is no value at all in the view of heaven, you know, in the view of God. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So God's judgment will not be slow. God's destruction does not slumber. God's you know, the destruction will not be slow either. So God, you know, allows those, you know, false prophets. Why? You know, number one, so to make believers' heart, you know, test the purpose. Whether or not to believe and truly love God with all your heart and all your mind, you know, test. Number two, God still gave an opportunity for false prophets to repent, you know, their sins. That is the second, you know, Peter, the disciple Peter said here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some men count slacklessness, but is long-suffering." God is long-suffering because God's heart is long-suffering. The agape love is long-suffering. God is patient, long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God didn't give opportunity the false prophets to repent too. Because of those reasons, so God, you know, not right now destroy them, but God will do so. 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, verse 2 said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers." Overseers mean instrumental leaders. Instrumental leaders to lead the God's flock. Actually, true leader only the Lord Jesus Christ. Instrumental leaders, you know, may be changed according to God's will, you know, anytime. So when, you know, true leader calls the instrumental leader into heaven, so instrumental leaders ministry will be stopped. Not by compulsion, grudgingly, not by force, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, or, you know, not for lucre, but eagerly. So eagerly, you know, eagerly desire. They are feeding the flock of sheep. That is attitude, not, you know, covetousness. Covetousness, you know, most of the bottom line, money. Also, verse 4, "For God did not spare the angels who sinned." Angel is creature, too, supposed creature called angel. But a certain cult, Jesus added, you know, just a supernatural creature, rather than creature. "But cast them down to hell." Hell here, the Greek word Tartarus. Tartarus means, literally meaning, the darkness portion of Hades. That's called is Tartarusness. The darkest place of Hades. So and delivered them into change of darkness to be reserved for judgment. That, you know, talks about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, you know, basically talks about, "Then I saw John, you know, saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand." But in the interchange of darkness here, the great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, you know, Satan, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. So a lot of devils, Satan is the head of devil, is called as Satan, and bound him for thousands of years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is like, you know, Tartarus, the darkest place of his bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the thousand years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So one millennium kingdom, just before the angel ordained by God, angels, you know, put the devils and Satan, you know, put it into bottomless pit, hell. So then 1,000, but at the end of it, 1,000 years, for a while, you know, the Satan and devils and Antichrist will be released. Verse 5, "And did not spare the ancient word, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. This is, Peter gave two examples in the Old Testament. Number one, Noah. Noah is actually a God, you know, asks Noah to build up the ark. So Noah, you know, continually to tell the Israelites to repent, you know, come back to God, you know, while, you know, Noah was, you know, building up the ark. So basically, that's a talk about Genesis chapter 6, you know, and chapter 7, basic story. But nobody repented, so all the ungodly people got punished with the flood, you know, by God. So only Noah family members, eight people, were saved. So basically, Noah families were sealed for flood judgment. That's like Jewish people, 144,000 people, will be sealed for a great tribulation and judgment like that. So among flood, so in the future, among great tribulation, ordained by God, because in order to destroy the ungodly or false prophet and false teachers. Also, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom. So this one, Sodom and Gomorrah, the different example, Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. This is ungodly meaning the practitioner of a sin. That's called ungodly. So we gave ungodly that kind of thing. So without repentance, the practitioner of a sin is called ungodly. And deliver the righteous law. Righteous law, what does it mean? Who were oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Lawless deeds meaning practice of a sin, and lawless meaning violation of law, violation of God's word, that kind of thing. Here, this is basically background Genesis in chapter 19. Because the Sodom and Gomorrah, they are trying to rape, even the men. Also, that's why, the Sodom Gomorrah city, Lot gave his daughter to lepers, that kind of thing. So sexual, is immoral, behavior, conducted, that kind of area. But here, the Bible said, righteous soul. But the Lord is, is a righteous soul. So his heart, seek for God, that kind of thing. So that is, that's why, God delivered the Lord's family from, Sodom and Gomorrah, to complete it. That is a type of, church. Before, great tribulation, all believers will be caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. That's called, rapture. So Peter, gave two examples. Here, lawless deeds, the first John, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment we repent our unbelief. So unbelief is unpardonable sin. So accomplishing that moment, the Bible said, the 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Basically, our sins meaning our unpardonable sin, unbelief, and in him there is no sin. So we treat us, righteous man, like righteous Lord, because righteous spirit, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever abides in the Lord Jesus Christ does not sin, does not commit to sin, meaning does not, become, unbeliever. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So whoever sins has neither seen. Whoever sins neither cannot sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is known. Jesus is known him. This one is the unpardonable sin, unbelief, you know, whereas repented, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our main body, you know, main body, our spirit is becoming righteous. You know, righteous meaning we are, you know, seeking for in a God's way. We want to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, the 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, this is a sin is different. Daily life, you know, thirsty kind of sin. We deceive, not in the practice of a sin. We deceive ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves that truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we confess our daily sin. Like, you know, Jesus Christ, the Washington, you know, disciples of fear. So disciples, you know, do not need, you know, the whole wash of a body, but the feet is required to wash it. So that's why we need, you know, daily repentance to, you know, dust it sin. He's a faithful, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, Jesus, a liar, and his word is not in us. So this kind of thing. So here, righteous Lord meaning, Lord never committed sin at all. It does not mean so. This is law, you know, the original unpardoned, the sin unfaced of God is, you know, completed and, you know, forgiven, but his soul is righteous to seek for God. You know, so that kind of thing. So Lord is a deliberation from, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and, you know, fire punishment. That is a type of, you know, the church in the New Testament. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Right here, temptation and the punishment. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Temptations is originated by Satan. So Satan power. Here, under punishment is you know, originated by God. So in equal token, tribulation and great tribulation is a, you know, difference in this way. Tribulation originated to Satan, but great tribulation originated to God. So tribulation, because Jesus God, you know, resurrected from the power of death, which means Jesus beat up, you know, Satan power. You know, Satan power is the death power, because the result of sin is death. So that is the death power, but Satan is not terminated yet, he's still struggling. That's why, you know, Jesus said, you know, here, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have a peace. In the world you will have a tribulation. Be over good cheer. I have overcome the world. So basically Jesus said, I overcome the world in tribulation. So tribulation originated by Satan. But Jesus already, you know, overcome, you know, the world's tribulation. So that's why, you know, we should be, you know, cheerful. We should be joyful. Whenever we face, you know, tribulation, we should be joyful, because Jesus already win. Also our face is not, you know, lacking at all, you know, company. That's what cheerful. So we Christian, you know, face many tribulation, like, you know, health problem, finance problem, or, you know, complaint problem, many tribulation. But we should be joyful, because Jesus already overcome, you know, the world in tribulation. Those tribulation created and originated by Satan, but great tribulation originated by God to punish the ungodly, right, the unjust. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand the great day of the wrath or of the great tribulation? Who is able to stand? So let's see each question. Number one, in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. What are false prophets? Are false teachers. So false prophets, those who bring different words from God's word, that's called false prophet. False teachers, those who teach different words from God's word, that's false teachers. Number two, why didn't God give punishment to false prophets, false teachers in a hurry? Because number one, the listener believer's heart, God wants to test the listener believer's heart to love God with all their heart, 100%, that's number one. Number two, God give opportunity to a false prophet and or false teachers to repent their sins, because God doesn't want anybody would be punished. Question three, how do we know the fullness of the Holy Spirit? So not, you know, freaking out, fullness of the Holy Spirit. Agape love should be manifested in the form of the fruit of the Holy Spirit or of the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, last question, what is the big difference between tribulation and great tribulation? Originate. Tribulations originate is Satan. Great tribulation originate is God. So tribulations originate is Satan to tempt, you know, the elect, the believers, you know. So great tribulation, God, you know, to punish false prophets, false teachers, sin and unrepented sinners. That's the purpose. Let's just sing song all together, Amazing Grace, then we'll finish today the study of God's Word.